It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpin. Judy joins us on Thursday mornings before the Lakeville Journal. Judy is the author, a prolific author, might I say, of Journal of a Duck Midwife, The Serotonin Powered Diet, and also Before Her Voice Was Still. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how she has time to do all the things she does, but here she is, Dr. Judy Werpin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Well, one thing that might tie your discussion of obesity and laughter together is that it really is almost impossible to eat while you're laughing.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you have dinner, and I'm sure you've all been at dinner parties or going out to dinner with people, having that at your home, when somebody starts telling a joke and, you know, all of a sudden you're choking on your food or you think... where you're spitting out your wine or something because you're laughing so hard. And
But you're right about that, Judy, because my father was a comic, and when I used to go see him at, like, the Concord and all these big places, dinner was served, and then the plates were cleared. And it gave people the chance to laugh and focus on the laughter and the jokes.
Exactly, exactly. And if there was dessert on the table, but they were laughing, it's simply... a physical impossibility to eat and swallow and laugh at the same time. And, you know, even though my piece was really directed toward the use, and apparently it is a well-established use now, of something called laughter therapy to help people who are depressed or anxious, who are going through various stresses, you know, either on a clinical basis or just simply in life in general, I wonder whether some, you know, enterprising weight loss group or researcher will say, well, gee, maybe we should, you know, extend the laughter therapy to people who are trying to lose weight. And so, you know, instead of having the food totally cleared away and everybody's eaten, you know, the three courses or 10 courses of the Concord, maybe they should have had your father get on the stage and talk when they were being served their appetizer, and perhaps they really would have, you know, eaten less and lost some weight. But what really is amazing is that, you know, we all know that laughter feels good. And what started my interest in writing this was that we had gone to, for the first time, you know, in a year and a half, to a celebrity series comedy performance with two people, Alan Cunningham and Ari Shapiro. And from the moment they got on stage, these two guys who sang and told stories and jokes and what have you, people in the audience started laughing, and, you know, to my ears, it was such a novel sound, because how often, you know, have you been now in the last year and a half with people who are actually laughing, with a whole group of people who are laughing, and it was like this feeling of feeling so much better came over the audience, and I noticed when we all left, you know, people were smiling and chit-chatting, and Boston people don't talk to each other unless they're introduced, but people were feeling so good. They were talking, you know, to strangers, my goodness, very, very odd for a Bostonian, talking to strangers about how wonderful it was to be in this performance. And that absolutely can be extrapolated to, you know, any situation where people are stressed. And, you know, there it's known that through the centuries there's something called gallows humor or dark humor, which bubbles up during really the worst possible situations, you know, war and natural catastrophe and famine, what have you. People somehow, somebody, not everybody is able to do this, are able to find some humor simply to laugh at themselves at how horrible this is. I quote somebody who wrote a blog about this, and he told a story about how during the First World War, somebody was decided to play the bagpipes, probably from Scotland, to cheer up the troops who were in the trenches on the part of the Allies. And every time he started playing, there'd be this terrible bombardment from across the no man's land from the Germans. And this happened time after time. The guns would start shooting, the people would duck for cover, the bagpipe obviously stopped playing, and then as soon as quiet, the bagpiper would start playing again. And finally, after the third bombardment, somebody yelled on the Allies side, "Can he play something that the Germans really like?" So,
yeah.
You know, it's that kind
Some
of
leader,
situation
please.
Where, you know, you feel that, you know, humor is going to at least take you out of your misery, whatever is causing it, you know, even for a few milliseconds, and it just feels good. And then there are psychologists who are able to cause all of us to spontaneously laugh. I'm not exactly sure how it works because I haven't been a part of that kind of group, but through certain kinds of exercises and breathing exercises and, you know, shared experiences. And there's even a kind of yoga that apparently is involved with laughter. And it occurred to me, Jill and Marshall, that you know, this is such a side effect kind of therapy, that and it works instantly. That wouldn't it be wonderful if you were depressed or anxious and you went to your therapist, and you know, instead of giving you a prescription for an antidepressant, he gave you a great big book on humor, you know, and said, okay, your homework is to go home and read and laugh at 3 or 4 jokes, you know, every night, or tell them to your friends, or see whether your friends can send you some funny things. I mean, and then, you know, keep a journal of how often you laughed each day. And no side effects. It would work instantly. Wouldn't cost anything. And, you know, why can't we look at something so natural and use it, you know, the way, you know, human civilization has been using it, rather than looking at drugs that may not even be effective.
Which brings us to where we were last week. And I'm just kind of still shaking my head about this. Who does that? Who, with all of the ability to make things and compound things and drugs and whatnot, why in the name of anything would you make an antidepressant have like pretty much uncontrolled weight gain as a side effect?
Exactly.
Why would you do that? And I'm sorry, because I know that
some
of your friends, but
antidepressants, but the drugs that are used for bipolar disorder and schizoaffective disorder have even a much greater potential for weight gain than the antidepressants. They make the antidepressants weight gain look like nonsense, because you can gain 75 or 100 pounds. Really, you can on those other drugs. You know, it's like you could say, Jill, well, you know, why is it that when you take a chemotherapeutic agent, you suffer from side effects that really may have permanent damage to your body, although they may allow you to live? It's that people are really pushed to find something that makes you better, and then they deal with the side effects. If they don't kill you, they just deal with them.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. What I don't understand is why nobody has understood how these antidepressants cause you to gain weight. And if you look at some of the explanations, it's, well, you know, when you were depressed, you weren't eating so much. And now that you're taking this drug, you're eating more, so you're gaining weight. No. Nobody is talking about going from, you know, being underweight to normal weight. They're talking about going from normal weight to overweight. And so that whole theory is totally irrelevant.
You know what I'm noticing on ads now, whether they're streaming ads or on TV, certain drugs now are putting in the fact that it may potentially cause weight gain. And that's the first time I've heard those. I mean, I've heard them say all the other things could cause death, cancer, this, that, another. But now they're actually also putting in it could potentially cause weight
gain.
Before
they were saying your weight might change, but they didn't emphasize gain, right?
Yeah. No, it's really important to say gain. You're absolutely right, because otherwise people that are heavy, they don't care. Basically, I hate to say that, but it's true. But people that are thin, when they hear change to them might be is lose weight, because they have never had they've never had a problem with being heavy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, apparently I saw something in the newspaper today that there is now a new obesity drug on the market that started out as a drug to help stabilize blood sugar. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's a self-injectable. Although now there's an oral form, but it's self-injectable. And as long as you take it, you lose weight. In fact, I know somebody who's lost a great deal of weight on this already, who's failed on all sorts of other diets. And nobody understands how it works, whether it just apparently works metabolically. People lose weight. The only downside is that you have to, when you stop taking it, you will gain back the weight again. And to me, so there's something really lacking there. I mean, it's not a Marshall success story. It's a success story based on, you know, injecting something in you that takes over, whereas your own behavior is sort of irrelevant at that point.
Yeah, I know. And it just takes away. I'm sorry, because This is a topic.
How long did it take me to learn it? You know, it's at the age in the 60s where, you know what, if you change your lifestyle and the way you eat and you change it and keep it changed, and it's gone over a year and a half to now almost a year and 8 months, guess what? Your body adapts to it. And it happened to me again last night where I wanted to make something for dinner. And once again, I made a chicken sandwich, just plain roasted chicken sandwich, and I split it in half. And guess what? I only ate half of it, and I put the other half away, which, by the way, I had this morning before leaving for work.
Yeah. But this is just not something you could have ever done before.
No.
This is a long and a varied topic, and we thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, but there's more to come.
And warm up. Good talking to you today. Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
With Judy Wortman, and of course, you can hear it every Thursday morning here at Robin Hood Radio, and find her at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wortman. Also, serotoninpowerdiet.com.